Oh, boy. Good afternoon. It's good to be here with you today. I'm reading some of these intentions that are coming in. Very heavy stuff here. Delighted to be with you. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for taking time to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. If this is new to you, it's a prayer that was given to St. Faustina in the 1930s. She had an experience, an encounter with the resurrected Lord. And this is a prayer that is laden with many promises from the Lord itself, for the sick, for the dying, for miracles that has affected everything from weather and brought about protection to profound conversion. So you can join me any day at this time at 888-914-9149. If you don't get through on the phone lines, I know they fill up pretty quickly. My producer Maggie does just an excellent job on our Twitter page. And the Twitter page for the show is at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show, the at sign and Drew Mariani Show. And just put your intentions there. Maggie will share them with you a little bit later in the chaplet. And of course, you can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. I'd love to talk with you there. And let's pray right now for all your intentions. I would like to pray for Dr. Tabali, who's asked for prayers. We'll pray for look, this is a guy, he probably wouldn't mind me sharing, who's been through a lot of spiritual attack. And I've seen this. I'm intimately familiar with it. I've encountered it many times in my life. When you're doing a work for God, quite often Satan loves to undermine, loves to create spirits of confusion and division and attack. And I saw it with documentaries I've done, with all sorts of different works and ministries. And Dr. Tabali right now is encountering the same thing. He's got a beautiful little side thing that he's doing to help women with miscarriages and who've had abortions. And he's creating a shrine. You cannot believe what the man's been through. But just pray for him and all that he's going through. I want to pray for you and for all of your intentions as well. In fact, just let me share one or two quick intentions. I was just reading here for you. And this person says, Drew, I'm so grateful for your ministry. I'm in a tough position though at work. I work nights with violent youth. I just can't do the job anymore. It's creating debilitating anxiety, and I pray that I be transferred to the day shift or to a new department, RFA. It's a big ask, but I have faith that our Heavenly Father will take care of me. Please pray, and thank you for all that you do. Well, thank you. I'll bring that to our spiritual family, as I often say to those who write to me, and we'll pray for one another. Another person wrote and said, there's a lot of old hurts that are festering in my family amongst four sisters in our care of our elderly parents. Urgently, I'm asking for prayers. My oldest sister, who's in the middle of a bitter divorce, may she open her heart and ears to the well-meaning prayers and advice of her daughters and sisters. You know, it's funny when your parents get old, or if there's even a death, quite often I've seen more families fight over money after the death of a loved one than anything else, and it's a time when you need to be more united than ever. Another person wrote and said, could you please pray for my daughter? She lives overseas, has five children, ages 8 and under. Her husband, despite multiple degrees, has been grossly underemployed for the past few years. Her housing situation is unstable. She's a cancer survivor. And there are other things that make the situation desperate. She's a strong Christian, though, throughout these trials, but is growing fragile in the midst of the ongoing stress. She says, I've been holding out a big cup, as you say. In fact, my husband and I have two huge, oversized cups, you know, and I place them on the table to remind us that we're putting our trust in God. And that's really the key, isn't it? I say it every day. More soul trust, the more it will receive. My producer, Maggie, is praying with me today. And Maggie, anything that you want to pray for or anything we should lift up?
Yeah, absolutely. Jennifer forwarded an email to me earlier, and I just wanted to read this to you, Drew, because it struck my heart. Audrey from Chicago wrote to us and said, Dear Drew, I have called and written a few times in the past. I need your prayers for my children. Three adult children, all away from the church. Two are gay and living in dreadful relationships. My oldest will be marrying his boyfriend in the not-too-distant future. My husband and I have tried to navigate this for the last 3 years. It's been difficult, to say the least. We've tried to be kind and loving. They know our faith is important to us, and they know how we feel about this. I pray for the conversion of their souls and for the souls of their partners, morning, noon, and night. We're being threatened by them that if we do not go to their wedding, they will not have a relationship with us going forward. I do pray that God will prevent this marriage from happening. I'm terrified, depressed, that this is starting to affect my health, both physical and mental. And in the words of my daughter, my faith is going to make me a lonely person. Please offer up my children in the chaplet. We are desperate.
Well, what a cross, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we will certainly bring her forward, Maggie. And I'm glad she's not alone. There's probably a lot of other families right now who are going through a similar walk. But it's the beauty of the spiritual time. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to cover this relationship in prayer. We're going to pray for God's will to be done. And most of all, we'll pray for his mercy. What else is coming in?
Gosh, we've got a lot. I mean, we can start if you want.
I'm sorry, you're going to share them later. I was going to have you go through a few more. Let's pray.
I mean, I can do that.
Let's pray. I was stunned by that one. I was a little shaken. I'm like, oh my gosh, what else do we need to pray for? But let's pray. A lot of people on hold that have intentions. And wherever you're listening right now, wherever you're praying, is it whether it's your car or your home or your hospital bed, or your prison cell, your office, all those distances and barriers disappear as we unite now as one spirit before the Heavenly Father. So let's put our trust in his mercy, and let's together pray for one another. And I just can't wait to see how God's going to work. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. I'll take our first call today. Blanca is praying in Chicago. Blanca, good afternoon. Hi, Blanca, are you with me? I'll put you back in queue. We'll move along to Chris. He is praying in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Chris, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. How's it going? My prayer intention is for my wife and I were separated, and my son. I just worry about my son through this whole ordeal. I just pray for God's grace and for the strength and for the healing and His will to be done. And I just pray, I just pray for my son who's in the middle of all of this. Yeah. And through this difficult time that we're going through right now.
Well, we're going to pray for you. I'm glad you got through it. We'll pray for your son, certainly, Chris. But I want to pray for you and for your wife. You're separated. I know it's a tough situation to go through. And, you know, I as you were sharing your story, you know what came to mind? There are a number of patron saints who are patrons of difficult marriages. One of those was St. Monica, believe it or not. She's a patron saint of those suffering from the effects of both alcoholism and difficult marriage. And not a whole lot's known about Monica, aside from the fact that, you know, St. Augustine tells us in his Confessions, you know, what we know about her. But here's a woman who suffered a very difficult situation. And despite all that she went through, all the abuse, she prayed endlessly for the salvation of her husband. And from that difficult marriage, of course, I think there's a lot of grace because she raised one of the great theologians, one of the great minds, great doctors, great saints of our church. And you're in a similar situation as Monica. You've got a child you're concerned about. You've got a troubled spouse. Really pray in earnest from your heart for that spouse of yours. I'm going to pray for you and for your couple and for your family, and so is our family here. But I think the suffering you're going through right now can be incredibly meritorious, not only for her conversion, but like Monica saw the fruit of her suffering manifest in a tremendous blessing in her child, Augustine. Let's pray the same thing, Chris, for your child as well, for your son, that he may become a great saint and may be the fruit of your prayer. So, Lord, I give you right now all those suffering, difficult relationships. Monica endured a situation with patience. She endured it with forbearance. And when her husband flew in a rage, she never answered back. And she submitted herself to prayer and to trust in you. So I ask through the intercession of St. Monica and all the saints, all those who are having difficult marriages, Lord, I ask now you go and you heal the wounds. Wherever there's discord, division, woundedness, I ask wherever those obstacles or spirits are that you remove those. You just today, as a result of these prayers, begin to bring healing and new beginning. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll try Blanca again. She's in Chicago. Blanca, good Hello. Afternoon. Hi, Blanca.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was calling because, can you hear me?
I can, yeah. It's good to have you here.
Okay. Good, thank you. I'm reaching now because my son, his wife is pregnant. They just found out that the baby has a hole in his diaphragm, and they're going to run some further testing tomorrow through an MRI to determine how severe this hole is that will not allow him to whether to survive his birth or not. And if he is, he might be have some kind of defect depending on the severity. So I want to pray for good results tomorrow to make sure that there's no, like, not heavy severities. So that's, his name is Emilian. They had a name for the baby already.
Yeah.
Emilian.
Emilian.
He's five
okay.
and a half months.
Well, you know.
Called, the illness is called CDH.
Okay.
So we want right, well, to pray look. For him.
Blanca, I'm going to give you, just as I gave to Chris, a saint. I want you to turn to somebody else for this particular cause. I really feel there's a special connection to divine mercy and to this particular man. His name was Father Ronald Pytel, and it was his miracle that actually led to the canonization of St. Faustina. His heart was so damaged that even a short walk exhausted him, and he needed to rest, and he was just in a terrible, terrible situation. And in 1995, Father Pytel went to see a very esteemed cardiologist who was a professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And, you know, the diagnosis was not good. I'll summarize that. Maybe I'll share his story when we're done praying the chapel today rather than diverge too much. Bottom line, he received an unbelievable miracle, and it was that miracle through St. Faustina that led to her canonization. She had been beatified. They needed one more miracle. His feast day is October 5th, Faustina's is October 5th, 1995, but that's the day that Pytel and his parishioners were praying for improvement of health. And I just want to go to him right now, ask St. Faustina, ask Father Pytel, ask all those who are patron saints of hearts right now. And Lord, I just pray for the miracle for this baby. We prayed the chapel for a child that had a hole in its heart, and there was a miraculous healing of that hole. And I just want you to pray right now for this hole in that lung, you know, and this other vital organ. I just pray, Lord, or the diaphragm, I just pray that Father Pytel, just as you receive that miracle through the intercession of St. Faustina, now that you be our advocate and intercede for Blanca, for this unborn baby, five and a half months along. I want to pray for anyone having respiratory issues, problems with their diaphragm, pulmonary issues, anybody with coronary issues. Father Pytel, I entrust them to your intercession. Along with Faustina, go before the throne of God, and I ask for physical healings and miracles this day. I just want to hear back to the wonderment of all that, my gosh, doctors don't have an explanation. The child's condition has been changed. So I thank you. As we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maggie's praying with me, as you know, but she's also monitoring all of those tweets that are coming in. A lot of prayer intentions on Twitter. You can leave us your intentions at Drew Mariani Show. Please also send me your answer prayers. It's drew@relevantradio.com. Send me an email, Mark Answered Prayer, and tell me how God has worked that miracle in your life. Maggie, what can we pray for today?
Drew, we've got some big cups today. We've got heavy intentions, including Dr. John Grabowski. We had him on last week.
Oh, yeah.
He sent a text to our other producer, Tom, and Tom forwarded that to me. He said, could you please add a prayer intention to the chaplet? We're on the way to Charlotte for the funeral of our four-year-old granddaughter, Eleanor Rose, who died in a tragic car accident on Saturday. He says, we know she's with the Lord, but our son Paul and his wife Jess and their children, Benny, Leo, and Pax, are mourning her greatly. So I want to lift up that family. Wow.
Wow. Not kidding. John, we're praying for you, bud.
Yeah.
We are praying for these intentions.
Yeah. Eleanor from California wrote to us and asked for prayers for her 80-year-old friend, Diana, who has an aggressive form of breast cancer. Yvonne wrote to us and asks for prayers for her husband and her. She says, my husband of almost 30 years has filed for divorce. I'm devastated and broken. Please pray that God changes his heart and heals our marriage. Thank you. Carol wrote to us and said, could you pray for a friend at church? Lily. Her granddaughter is 8 months pregnant and has a heart problem.
Uh-huh.
There, you were just
marriages
talking about
and that. Heart problems.
Yeah,
it seems to be the theme that I...
Prayers for the mother and the baby to both be okay. And then Celeste wrote to us and said, please pray for healing for my niece who has been in severe pain for over a month. And so far, the doctors cannot find a cause. Also pray for her conversion as well as my children's return to the church. Thank you.
And just two people I want to pray for. I've been praying for them a lot. A friend of mine, Jay, I'm praying for your continued healing of your heart. He had a heart procedure done. I want to pray for my buddy Doug as well, who's really just grappling with the right direction and what to do with his own heart condition. So today I pray for hearts. I pray for marriages. Again, Lord, I bring them to you. I want to pray in a special way for protection over this country, for peace in the world today. At Mass this morning, I really was struck by the importance of you and me together praying for peace. God hears these prayers. I was sharing what the former president had to say. In fact, tomorrow I'll talk a little bit about it, but Russia has said that any outside attack on the region, right? If Crimea, if you know, the U.S. or the West gets involved in that, and we don't recognize Moscow's control of that, that it will prompt a judgment day response from Russia. And what that means, I don't know, but we just got to pray for peace and conversion of hearts and for protection in this world as well. I want to lift that up. Barb is praying with us in Florida. We'll add her to this third decade as well. Barb, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Drew?
Yes, Barb. Hi, Drew? Barbara.
Oh, hi. This is Barbara from Florida. I'm calling for my friend, my neighbor. She has a four-month-old grandson who has going to have open-heart surgery on July 29th on his heart, like you were saying before.
Wow,
he has
crazy.
Four different serious problems with his heart.
Yep.
One of them is a hole in the heart. And he's going to be operated on July 29th, open-heart surgery. And I pray that the Lord will heal his heart before he even has the surgery.
Amen.
And if he has to have surgery, that'll be a total success.
All right. Well, let's pray for it right now. Barbara, I thank you. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go right ahead. Is there another intention you had?
Well, always my children in the conversion also.
All right. Well, let's do that. We'll pray for that. That's the most important of all, right? Because life is a journey. We want all of our loved ones to be right with God. I want to pray for my children, your children. I want to pray for Joe Biden, those who've lost their way, who are promoting a culture of death. And Lord, I just thank you for the way I get a very strong sense God is hearing these prayers today, that those heart problems people are calling in for, that those arrhythmias, the angioplasties people are needing. I mean, there's going to be a lot of really amazing things happening today. And Lord, I just pray for successful surgeries. I pray for your divine touch. I pray for miraculous healings. And I just thank you in advance as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Rosie is praying in Black Earth, Wisconsin. Hi, Rosie.
Hello, Drew, and thank you for this beautiful ministry.
Thank you.
I have three intentions. My first one is for baby 8-month-old Paul, and he has not been gaining weight or growing, and they've had every test they can think of for him, and he may end up going to Mayo Clinic to find out why this is happening. My second intention is another heart one for Harold. He's one of the best prayer warriors for life. He's always at Women Care Center and always praying for life, and he's having very serious heart issues. Our third one is for our 17-year-old grandson, Lance, who has been in perfect health, and suddenly he his one left cheek in his face started enlarging, and he's going for a biopsy. They've done scans and x-rays and MRIs, and they haven't been able to figure it out, so he's going for a biopsy today. So thank you, Drew, and God bless you and your work.
Thank you, Rosie. I pray for all of your personal needs, too. And Lord, I pray for everyone that's on hold with me right now. I pray for all those intentions, Rosie, put forward. And so bizarre how many heart intentions we have. If you have a heart issue today, claim it. Claim the healing. Claim the right procedure, the right medication, or the solution to your problem, or the successful recovery, whatever it may be. Ask God for it and claim it today. I mean, when this current flows through the show, I really think God is working in a really very, very powerful way. I want to pray for those with wounded hearts, too, those who've been betrayed by infidelity, by broken friendships, those who are suffering loss, those who are mourning. I give you the broken heart and that emotional and psychological pain that so many carry, too, Lord. And just ask you to heal our hearts and let our hearts burn with the love of you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Rose, praying with us in California. Hi, Rose, good afternoon. I'm sorry, I don't think I fired you up. There you go. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
A pleasure to speak with you.
Likewise.
Thank you for all that you do, and you're praying for all of us. It just brings a lot of relief to us. My prayer intention today is for my son and his wife, who are going through a really, really bad divorce and custody issues with their children.
Yep.
They have three beautiful children, ages 13, 7, and 4, James, Scarlett, and Woody.
Beautiful.
And unfortunately, my son has gotten involved with another woman who has really been changing the way he takes care of the children. And it's just a devastating thing that we're going through right now. At this time, there's a social worker who is going to his home because over the weekend, the children were in our care, and we found out that he's been kind of like hitting our granddaughter too much.
Oh,
and we're just trying to hopefully get the children back home to their mother, Linda, who is taking good care of them. And there's a court hearing next Tuesday on June 26th, so that the judge can give her more time in custody with her children. And so, Drew, I'm just begging our Lord and to please, please protect my grandchildren. My son won't even let us see our grandchildren anymore, who we've helped raise since they were born.
So sorry.
This relationship with this woman he is in has just devastated our whole family. It's awful.
Well, Rose, look, I am so glad you got through. I'm glad I was able to take your call today. I promise you my personal prayers, my deepest prayers. My wife and I will pray for you and your family tonight. And such a heavy cross you are carrying, and how much you love your son and how much you love your grandchildren. And it's just so tragic to see this spirit of division and infidelity come into the family, and the kids being the side effect of it. But I believe God's at work today. And I say that with confidence. So we started talking about marriage, and I want to ask St. Monica to intercede for you, St. Joseph, all the saints. And I know our spiritual family here is going to be praying for you throughout the day too, because we often remember these prayers and continue to pray. So let's take this cross now, and let's bring it to the Lord. Lord, I pray for Rose. I pray for Linda, and that she may be able to have complete custody of those children until this husband finds the healing that he needs. I pray for broken marriages. I pray where there's abuse, where there's infidelity, where there's sickness, Lord. Pray where there's dark and demonic spirits. And I just pray for cleansing and healing. And I pray that you hear the tears and the cries of this mother here tonight. And I just give you everyone who's praying with me. We all have crosses. We all have intentions. We all have needs, some heavier, bigger than others. We just pray for the grace and the fortitude to carry our crosses, to have the trust that we need in you. But Heavenly Father, through the death and resurrection of your Son, I pray for miracles so that faith can be bolstered, that your mercy can be proclaimed. So I bring you all who did not get through, all those who voiced their intentions, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Reconciler of peoples, nations, and marriages.
Pray for us.
Virgin most powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Monica.
Pray for us.
Father Ronald Pytel.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. Let's continue to pray for these intentions and for one another. And send me those answered prayers. I am absolutely 1,000% convinced God is at work and miracles are in the offing for you. It's drew@relevantradio.com. When I come back, there's a new 3-digit number to help somebody dealing with suicidal ideation. It's simple, easy to remember, and I'll tell you what it is right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
What was formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is now the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. The new 3-digit number now up and running.
For nearly 2 decades, we've had a call number for suicide prevention. So you could call 1-800-273-8255 if you need some help. But you know, that's not an easy to remember number, and it doesn't reflect the way we all use our mobile devices today.
FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel says the idea behind 988 is to make it as easy as possible for people who are in mental or emotional distress to get the assistance when they need it.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So good to be with you. Thank you for joining me. That's a easy number. I think it's brilliant. I can't tell you how many times I'm on the air, right? And I say to my producer, I say, Maggie, can you get me the suicide prevention number? You know, it's so often that we want to put that out to somebody who's having suicidal ideation or having these types of thought. Our nation today is without question in a state of spiritual decline. And I think that's one of the byproducts of what we're seeing is when God's not in the life of this nation, when it's not in your personal life, there's a decline in a lot of other areas of our life. And sometimes that ripples out into mental health. I'm not saying this is the case all the time. There's a lot of reasons people, decide to take their own lives. But when we look at the numbers today, you know, economists are calling it deaths of despair, death by opioid drug overdose, death by alcoholism, death by suicide. You know, when we compare to 16 other developed countries, the U.S. leads every single one of those categories. You know, I really think we've rejected God on so many different levels. Here we are. We're supposed to be one of the most developed nations on the planet. You know, especially among white middle-aged males without college education, we're seeing people completely, you know, devastating. So how many men today are taking their lives? It's off the charts. How many kids? Look at the rate of suicide, how high it's going up. I can't tell how many people I see despairing of life and taking their life, ending their life, thinking that's the only way out. The last numbers I have, I looked at, I think were 2020, and there were 46,000 people who took their own lives. And that was down from the year before in 2019. I don't know what the numbers are this year. My next guest might be able to tell us. Not that that's critical. You know, according to the CDC, there's an estimated 12.2 million adults who have seriously thought about suicide. 3 million, somewhere in that ballpark, planned a suicide attempt. 1.2 attempted to do it. That's way too much. In fact, my next guest knows this intimately. And he's been a great champion of helping people find healing, find direction. He wrote a book. He's a deacon. He's been with me in the past. He co-authored a book called Responding to Suicide, a Pastoral Handbook for Catholic Leaders, and also When a Loved One Dies by Suicide. And his name's Deacon Ed Schoner. He serves St. Peter's Cathedral in the Diocese of Scranton. And he's one of the founding members, believe it or not, of the Association of Catholic Health, or Catholic Mental Health Ministers, and the Catholic Institute of Mental Health Ministry at the University of San Diego. And if you want to join us, maybe you're going through a difficult time, maybe you're struggling right now, maybe you just lost somebody, by suicide. Feel free to call. The number's 888-914-9149. The deacon himself has an unbelievably powerful story. He, along with his family and friends, they founded a foundation called the Katy Foundation after his own daughter died by suicide in 2016. She wrote this incredible obituary. It's absolutely beautiful. I should dig it back up. It went viral. Why? Because it spoke about the needs and the concerns of people who live with mental illness. Deacon Schoner joins me today. Deacon, thank you for being here. Thank you for your patience today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Drew. This is an important topic. I'm glad you're always willing to talk about it.
Well, you know, I saw the new number come out, and I thought, that's fantastic. You know, it's very easy to give, and it's very easy for people to remember. Yeah. Like 911, you can plug that into your speed dial, especially if you have these ideations. You know, for those who don't know, Deacon, I mean, let's step back. Maybe share your story. Give people perspective on what you went through, mm-hmm. and then we could talk about this epidemic of suicide that we're seeing today.
Yeah, we had our daughter, Katie, a beautiful, beautiful young woman. And like so many people in this country, about 20% of us will live with some sort of mental illness or diagnosable mental health disorder. And over the course of a lifetime, about half of us are going to be dealing with this. Now, Katie had a more serious type of mental health disorder called bipolar disorder. And it came on in her late teen years. And, you know, she was a beautiful, vibrant young woman with lots of friends. She was doing great in school. She loved playing soccer, had boyfriends. But so often these illnesses come on in late teens, early 20s. And that was when her first suicide attempt was. And it came right out of the blue. It shocked my wife, Ruth, and I. And it took us a while to understand what bipolar disorder is and what it meant for Katie. And you know, and these illnesses affect the entire family, what it meant for our family. But we eventually started to understand it, as did Katie. She got into good medical care, took the cocktail medicine she was prescribed. But, you know, Drew, so often with these mental illnesses, the medicines work for a little while, and then they stop working, and then they get switched back up. The psychiatrist switch up the meds and give her a different cocktail that worked for a while. But in Katie's case, she had what was termed or loosely termed treatment-resistant bipolar. They could never quite find the right mix of meds for Katie, but she took it very seriously. But sadly, she died by suicide when she was 29 years old. August of 2016. In fact, we're coming up on her death anniversary in a couple weeks here on August 3rd. But as you mentioned, when she died, I'll find out the day I die when I have my own particular judgment, but I always feel as though that, you know, I was only a couple hours after she died, I was in no shape to think straight, as you can imagine, and wrote this simple obituary about how Katie, I openly said that she died by suicide and she had a mental illness, but she wasn't defined by this mental illness. She's a beautiful child of God. And when people talked about her suicide, to remember that, and that these illnesses are illnesses and that they should be treated as such, and we need a better health care. And apparently this spoke to what people who live with these illnesses and their family and friends experience, and it went viral and was shared widely, which I think is a work of the Holy Spirit to bring this out into the open and so people can talk about it more openly.
Deacon, what do you think is going on today? I mean, you suffered an unimaginable loss. My heart always goes out to you and anyone who suffered the loss of a child. But, you know, the numbers, especially, they continue to rise, or at least that's what it looks like, especially amongst younger and younger adults and children, in particular middle-aged men are not immune either. That number's pretty high as well. What's driving this? I mean, because these numbers are higher than they ever have been. I'm curious as to your observation.
Well, I tell you, Drew, if I could answer what's driving it, I'd get the Nobel Peace Prize. I wish. I know a lot of people that's a lot smarter than me are trying to figure out what's driving these suicide numbers, not just in the U.S., but across the world. And in different cultures, they vary by culture and place. So, you know, as a minister of the church, as a deacon, what I say is this, is that God wants to be with people who are struggling with these mental illnesses, that are struggling with these suicidal thoughts. And there's no shame in getting mental health care, treatment, and getting care. You're not a bad Catholic if you pick up the phone and call a therapist or a psychiatrist and get the care that you need. That these mental health professionals are gifts from God. These sciences are gifts from God. And I think that's one part of it. Is that, you know, if you talk about what's driving it, I'm sure there's many factors. But one factor is that people, there's still a stigma about getting mental health care. So one of the things we need to get over is this reluctance to pick up the phone and call a therapist. I always tell people that if suicide is something you're ruminating on and thinking about more than just a passing thought, view that as like chest pains or maybe weaknesses on the side of your face, like a stroke or a heart condition. And just as you'd go to the doctor if you had chest pains, if you're starting to think about suicide ideation is the term, go, pick up the phone and get help. Don't be at all reluctant to get help. I think if we can just overcome that, we can do so much to start to bring these suicide numbers down. It's just people acknowledge that mental health is a medical condition that can be treated and analyzed and hopefully bring down these rates. The other thing I will mention too, Drew, you were saying in the lead up to this segment, suicide rates the last couple of years have been way too high. If today's a typical day, about 125 people are going to die from suicide in this country today. But the thing that has shot up a lot lately that's related, it's a thin line between drug overdoses and suicide. Yeah. Yeah. Drug overdoses are way up in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, fentanyl especially.
Pandemic.
That's so true. Deacon, hold the thought. Let's pick it up on the other side. Jim in Philadelphia, everyone else, we'll grab your calls. Speaking today with a man who intimately knows the loss of a child, especially by suicide. There's a new toll-free number out there for you to use. It's 988. So instead of having to figure out a 10-digit number, those three numbers could save a life, maybe even yours. 988, okay? 988. You'll be connected to a trained professional in your local area who'll be able to listen to you and, if necessary, give you resources. When we come back, I'll take your calls. I only have the Deacon maybe 10 more minutes. So if you've got a question, if you're going through a difficult time, if you want to share your story, love to have you pull up a chair. 888-914-9149. That's the number to connect to me. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, jot this number down quickly. I'm going to give you a hotline. It's good 24/7 for free, confidential, emotional support. It works all over the country, especially if you are in mental distress. It could be a lifeline for you. Maybe it's your son or daughter or somebody that you love. The number is 988. 988. 988. Okay. Three digits, 988, like 911, 988, and it will call you to connect you to a certified crisis center. And I'll tell you, I'm delighted I'm seeing this change. People are experiencing mental health crises today, unlike anything I have seen, at least. And I'm not the professional, but I just monitor the news. I see the results. I look at the stats. And it's troubling. I mean, you probably know someone. I sat around a conference table. I was somewhere with a film crew. It was about 2 years ago, and they were all in their early 20s. And I just happened to, during our lunch break, say to them, "Hey, do you know anybody who has had suicidal thoughts or had taken their life?" And let's say there were five, maybe six people in their early 20s that were there. Five out of six raised their hands. "Oh yeah, so and so, I lost a friend by suicide." And, "Oh, this person tried." Or, I mean, they went through these horrible stories. It's really an eye opener for me. There is a stigma to mental health that's got to go away, and we need help. This is a real problem. And if somebody you love says that they don't want to live, take that seriously. Don't think, they're just talking. Take it seriously. I'm joined today by a man, a father who lost his own daughter by suicide. His name's Deacon Ed Schoner. And Deacon, we got a few minutes here. Before I jump into the phones, I just want to ask you, about the church, because there's been a stigma with this too. And sometimes people think that somebody who commits suicide is going to hell. And that's really not we should give the clear teaching on the church. I mean, God is so merciful, and so often people in the state are drug-induced or depressed or not in their right mind. But maybe if you could, before we jump into the phones, what does the church teach regarding suicide?
The church teaches that the science of psychology and psychiatry has given the church greater insights into why people die by suicide. And the church's teaching of suicide changed under the leadership of Pope St. John Paul II in the mid-1990s. You know, as you mentioned, back in the bad old days, so to speak, if you died by suicide, there was no funeral, at least no Catholic mass, no burial in a Catholic cemetery. All that, fortunately, has changed. And we now understand that the culpability or the understanding, as you said, of someone who's died by suicide is totally warped and distorted by these illnesses or extreme psychological stress they're under. Everybody I know, Drew, that's attempted suicide that has lived and was stabilized afterwards said, thanks God I didn't die by suicide. You know, they didn't want to do it. They get in this tunnel where their mind gets disordered to this tunnel and think that's their only option or the world would be better without them. And they really think it's the best thing and the right thing to do. And so the church understands that. And when my daughter Katie died, our bishop attended the funeral. We had many priests. It was a beautiful funeral, as a funeral can be for your daughter. And Katie's buried in the cathedral cemetery here. So thankfully, the church's teaching on this has changed dramatically from what it used to be.
Yeah, when you talk about suicide, you're so right. It is a permanent solution, they say, to a temporary problem, because there's always help. There's always a better day.
If they can get through that, you know, it's just like, again, I keep analogizing it to a lot of physical illnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, just like if you have a heart attack, if you can get through that heart period, if you can either with CPR or some sort of emergency situation to stabilize that heart attack, you can live to see another day. Quite often with suicide, it's the same thing. They get in this tunneled cognitive tunnel where they just think this is what they have to do. If somehow they can get through that, or we can help them get through that, there's treatment available.
Well, let's do this. We have a few minutes. We'll grab a couple quick calls. Jim has been having a lot of dark thoughts. He claims are very difficult to overcome. He wants to talk to you. Jim in Philadelphia, thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Deacon Schoner.
Hey, thank you. I've always thought about suicide. I'm a veteran. I have PTSD. But I fought it, and I fought it because of my religion. And listening to your station has really been a big, big, big help on me. So that's
right.
Not really my issue right now. I think about it and stops, but it's my 37-year-old son that's a drug addict. He just can't stop. And, you know, if I'm around him, I get violent. I'm a very, you know, I was in Green Beret. You know, I got all these things that I don't want to think about.
Right.
And I'm afraid. I don't know if it just keeps pushing me. And there's a point where, like you talked about, a tunnel where I can't ever see this ending. And I'm like, you praying, saying a rosary. And I know it's going to come. And I want my eternal soul to be saved. But it's just like wearing me out. And I'm afraid I'll get to that point where I'll do it. And I won't even realize it. I'll be in such despair.
Well, right.
Jim, the veterans centers have a lot of good mental health care. If you've been able to avail yourself of any of that?
I've been through that, yeah. My main thing is getting to know my son is...
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I did. My son, you know, with him with me, it's problems every day. And, you know, I want to take care of my son, but I got to take care of myself first. I'm in my late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. And, Jim, your son's 30, right? You said he's 30 years old?
Yeah, like 37. Yeah,
He's a man now, and he's an adult, too. So maybe we need to work to get him to stand on his own 2 feet so you don't have to be responsible in these ideations and these challenges you're having both emotionally and mentally. Can be diminished. But Deacon, I'm going to let you respond because we have about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left, and I want to make sure you give him some good advice.
Yeah, the advice I would give to you, Jim, which you seem to be aware of, is particularly for vets, the Veterans Administration is very well aware of this and has poured a lot of resources into helping guys like you deal with your suicidal ideation and psychological issues, PTSD and other things. Your son, boy, you know, I run into that all the time, too, here in our little parish here in Scranton. People are addicted, trying to get them to the point where they will get the help that they need, because the help is out there. And, you know, so often with addiction, addiction, people have got to hit the bottom before they realize that they need to get the help. That's hard advice to give to people, but when they do hit that bottom, there is help. And the other thing I would say, the topic of the show today is use 988. Yep. If your son is in a crisis position, you have this wonderful number now where you can call and get counseling help. If they need to get a more immediate response, there are crisis response teams associated with a lot of police departments. The police are trained now to respond to mental health emergencies. So if your son gets in a crisis situation, dial 988 and get the help out there. And we'll all pray that hopefully at some point he'll get himself into a rehab facility and get himself better long-term care. But amen, for short-term, 988.
Hey, Jim, thank you for your call. Count on my prayers, too. I'll try to remember you tonight when I spend a little bit of time with the Lord, and especially your son. Pray for me and my kids as well. I appreciate your prayers. We'll pray for one another. Deacon, I have less than a minute to go. Your book, When a Loved One Dies by Suicide, is there a good way to connect to that? And whatever final thoughts you'd like to leave, I'll give you the last 60 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, the book is available wherever you can buy books. It's published by Ave Maria Press, a very good Catholic publishing house. So you can look it up there. Yeah, and the other thing I would add with 988, besides helping yourself out or your loved one with 988, even if, you know, instead of calling 911, if you see someone acting up publicly, maybe, you know, walking down the middle of the street or something like that, call 988. It's there for those type of responses too. You don't have to dial 911 for every public incident that's a problem. You would rather see a mental health team respond.
Great advice. That's Deacon Ed Schoner, the book When a Loved One Dies by Suicide. Stay with me when we come back. I'll tell you what one bishop had to say about our president.